And the people of Portland have established this city as a premier destination. This momentum, combined with visionary leadership of the Bethal family, is what brings us all to this announcement today. So today, I am honored to officially announce that we have awarded Portland the 15th WNBA franchise.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
We want to demonstrate that we can host world-class events. And after we host the Final Four, we'll be ready to host an NBA All-Star game, or now a WNBA All-Star.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Portland playing into their own issues there. Now they come the other way. Evander Moreno into the penalty area. Pulls it back. Evander in strike, 2-0. Oh, he's so silky in possession. One touch, two touch. Boom. 2-0.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. It's a Thursday. Good morning.
What is happening?
How we doing?
Yeah, we're feeling good, man. I put the little guy in Christmas sleeper last night. Got me in the Christmas spirit. I'm already ready to go.
You mean a Christmas sleeper?
He had a little Christmas onesie on last night. A little Santa Claus, some cookies, a couple of Christmas trees. We're turning the page, baby. We're skipping right over Halloween.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We're ready to go. We're ready to go. First Christmas, I'm jacked, man.
I believe the show history would suggest on the archives that you are very big anti-skipping over holiday person who gets mad at stores for doing this.
I definitely am, but I think kids have changed me, man. I'm just older and I'm wiser now. Move on. Although I am excited for Halloween with the little guy. I'll acknowledge that, but he doesn't really, like, he can't do anything yet for Halloween. You know, we have to carry him house to house, so he's got to have a costume, but it's not quite the same. I think Christmas will be a little bit different.
Well, I'm going to tell you a dirty secret. It's not. Why would it be different for Christmas than Halloween? He's not going to open his gifts. You know that, right? He's not
going to
know what's happening.
Totally get that.
Their first Christmas is, sadly to report, very underwhelming.
See, here's my hope.
It's more a you and her thing.
Without a doubt.
It's your memory.
Totally, without a doubt. My hope is, at least, I mean, he's about to be 9 months old, I think. So he's going to be almost a year by the time Christmas rolls around. Now, still completely unaware of what's going on. But 2 months from now, you know, we're dealing with a different ballgame at that point. You know, he's talking, he's hanging out. He's got a football outfit on.
Dad,
let's go, man. Let's go play catch outside. You got it, buddy. Let's go, dude.
I love how you've lied to yourself and you know it.
It's totally going to happen, man. I'm giving him 30 minutes every day with a football. It's great. He's all into it. He likes playing with it.
That's good.
You got to start him young.
You do have to start him young.
He smiles every time I hand him that little Oregon Duck football. He's got a little smile on his face. He holds it, loves playing with it.
Now, is he smiling because he loves football, or is he smiling because he knows he's going to betray you one day and be an Oregon State Beaver?
That I don't know. That he could be an evil secret planner behind the scenes just waiting to
rip
my heart out.
We've been plotting the entire time.
Yeah, I think the Husky thing would be more of a heartbreaker for me than Oregon State.
Well, there you go. Way to piss off Beaver fan this morning. Well, I think my real rival would really upset me.
You know, look, we all know he's going to be a five-star high school quarterback, so he's going to have options to go wherever he wants coming out of high school as a blue chip recruit. And at least, hey, you know what? You save an in-state program, he gets you guys to the college football playoff. I'll be happy for you.
I just hope he gets the tall gene in both your families.
I do too, man.
Because you're not the tallest person, but your dad is.
My dad's tall,
and I feel like your father-in-law is about the same height as me.
Yeah.
But I don't think your brother-in-law is very tall.
No, he's not very tall.
So you and your brother-in-law got stuck with some short gene where your dads are tall.
Definitely did. We got absolutely the short end of the stick, literally and figuratively. And so that is my big prayer, because my wife is also very small.
Yes.
She's very tiny. And so two tiny people making usually a tiny baby, and we're hoping we're bucking the trend on that one.
You never know, though.
You never know.
Yao Ming's parents aren't all 7 feet.
Exactly. I hope he's taller than me when he's in fourth grade, man.
You ever seen Shaq's dad?
Conceivable. I have not seen Shaq's dad.
Shaq's dad's like 5'10", or was 5'10". He's passed away, but there's pictures of Shaq standing next to his dad. His dad's like 5'10".
I've seen Shaq's new girlfriend, and that just freaks me out.
Well, any woman next to Shaq is going to kind of trip you out a little bit.
It trips me out.
I remember reading a thing on Chris Bosh, who is damn near 7 feet, if not 7 feet, and his wife is 5'2". And I'm like,
How?
That's crazy. His wife is almost, it's like barely taller than my wife.
Than your wife.
And my wife isn't tall at all.
And he's maybe a foot taller than you.
Yeah.
And so that's
But what's he supposed to do? Is he supposed to be with somebody that's 6'9"? Like,
they're like,
I don't know what those guys are supposed to do.
It's like the reverse where some girls will only date guys who are over 6 feet. Like, that's a requirement for them. They won't date the short kings
what
out there.
What a ridiculous standard, by the way.
Absolute ridiculous. As a short king, it's absolutely ridiculous. But I feel like basketball players should have that mantra. The other way. Like, I'm not dating you if you're under 6 feet tall. It's just too weird and uncomfortable. You go up to my belly button. Like, look like a child next to me, man. Go. If you haven't seen the picture of Shaq and his new girlfriend, now, to your point, every girl will look like that next to him. But dear God, man, it just is really weird and uncomfortable.
I need to put a poll question up. Does every person under 5'10 call themselves a short king?
You're damn right we do.
Is that a thing?
You're damn right we do.
Feels like a pretty big thing.
I mean, we're short kings. You know, what do you want from us?
Yeah, right? He is way taller than this one.
There's a picture that they posted or that she posted, and his, like, from the chest up is not even in the photo.
Well, he dated one of the gals from the Flavor Flav show.
I did not know that.
Hoops. You remember Hoops?
How could you forget Hoops?
Dude, Hoops was hot.
Flavor Flav, that show was peak reality television.
He dated her for quite some time. There are photos of them. I think she's 5'1".
Let me see those photos.
So he's 7'2", 7'1".
Yeah,
she's 5'1".
Dude, you look like you're walking. Like, you look like you're babysitting. Like,
I know,
she
but what
goes up to his waist in these pictures, man.
Yeah, like, what? But he's 7'1".
I know. Go find a 6'4" gal. They're
I'm
out
sure
there.
That's easy.
Go find. Go date gals in the WNBA.
Walk into the volleyball
yes,
facility.
Thank
and just
you.
Meet somebody nice.
Those spikers are out there, man, and they're tall.
Well, they'll still look short next to him.
They will, but at least it'll look a little bit more normal. Yeah. Only a small inch difference there.
It might.
Hey-o.
It might.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
I was alerted to something from a listener. A friend of the program, Ryan, sent me this, and I had no idea, because you know, I've said the last 2 days, I hate to offend people, so if I've offended you with my comments, I apologize.
Stop offending people, man.
But I'm pretty out on baseball.
Yeah.
I've been very loud and proud about that.
You have.
Listener Ryan sent me this. Do you know what the winning percentage of the first place Houston Astros is?
The winning percentage?
Yeah.
I know they're slightly above 500.
Mm-hmm. Think. I don't even have to look, and I know where he's going.
Yeah, you know where I'm going.
52%, 54%?
54%.
54%.
Yeah.
You just got to be 54.
The Royals, what's their winning percentage?
is it only 54?
It's 54%.
It's only 54 for them, really?
Yeah,
I thought they were a little bit better than that.
They're the second wild card team.
I know. I figured they're like 12 games above 500, but maybe that's good for 54%.
And he made a good point. He said 54% now is going to haunt this franchise. They're never going to get to 54% even.
My favorite thing about all of it is that every time they find themselves the fans try and convince themselves that there's still hope and optimism.
Do you think fans were doing that during that 10-game stretch?
Dude, Blazer fans are convincing themselves of optimism right now. Blazer fans
no,
are.
They're not.
Yes, they are.
No,
they exist.
They're not.
They're out there.
Point them out.
Blazer truthers
Name
are out there.
Names.
I see them all over the place. They stop me in the grocery stores. They say, hey, Dirt, we're going to the playoffs this year. I say, no, you're not.
Talking to yourself in the grocery store.
I am. It's not good. As I'm looking at body armors walking by. No, it's not good. Don't talk to yourself. Right when they get like, hey, maybe there's a chance here, they have two of the dumbest base running things I have ever seen in my entire life. Did you see what happened to Julio last night?
I don't.
You
root.
Guys, did you see
How
this?
How did you see it? You don't have roots.
It's just on social media. I just saw the clips of it.
No, I was watching the game.
So last night you had Victor Robles in the first inning with the bases loaded, try and steal home in a 3-0 count.
I saw that highlight.
And he was thrown out when their pitcher couldn't find the strike zone, and he probably walks home on the next pitch. So just brilliant base running. They go on to get blown out.
We'll hear about it later.
Last night they have runners on, I think,
first and third,
one out.
Nobody out.
10th inning.
In the 10th.
Down 2-1.
Oh, they went to extras.
They went to innings. They hit an eighth inning home run to tie the game.
Of course they did.
Gave up a run in the top of the 10th. You're down 2-1.
Luckiest home team in baseball in like the last 3 years.
First and third, nobody out.
Yeah.
And a Arozarena, I believe it is, strikes out at the plate. And in the process of striking out, flings his bat down the third baseline. Julio Rodriguez is on third base. He's not paying attention to the fact that, you know, the play is still live and things are going on. And as the bat comes his direction, he gets out of the way further into foul territory.
Over by the coach's
bat. Over by the coach's
bat.
Yes. And just like not, again, remembering the play is still live. and the Yankees throw to third base and they pick him off. Double play. Tying run on third, nobody out, strikeout, pick off, two outs. Guess how the game ended.
Yeah, well,
they didn't score the run,
to end.
And then they struck out, and the game ended.
I really do. I'm thinking a Mariner fan hearing me chuckle, and they're getting outraged, and I just want to say, calm down and think about the comedic timing of all of that. And if it wasn't your team, you'd also be laughing.
It's pretty funny.
That's hilarious.
And the Mariner fans were pissed because on the Root Sports postgame show, which they're obviously fair and balanced, they talked about it for like 10 seconds. Just an egregious base running mistake.
What are they going to highlight it for the whole postgame show?
I mean, I would. It's a pretty big mistake.
Is there anybody?
Season's on the line. I mean, they're dead, but the season's on the line, and you're doing that on third base with one out?
NBC Chicago had Ozzie Guillen on the analysis role for the White Sox post game, which was very interesting because he coached that team. And what he would say in the post game, did you see how they tweeted last night, by the way? They announced that they lost.
I did.
I'm not watching White Sox
baseball.
Did
they set the franchise record or did they?
No. I would hope because they've lost 117 games now. I hope they don't have a year with more losses than that.
Their tweet to say that the final it had been done, they just said final. The other team scored more runs than us. Like 15,000.
You know, those social media people are just...
They're done.
Oh, yeah.
They're exhausted by this. But anyways, they had Ozzie Guillen on all year. And they'd go to Ozzie Guillen and he'd be like, they suck. They're terrible.
He rant and rave. It's a horrible team.
And before I cut my cable, I had watched some Root Mariner stuff this year. And it's just like... What was I getting?
You know, guys tried hard tonight. Guys tried hard. They played tough. They hung in there. They hung in there.
It's interesting how some networks will just lean into it and make, let's just be honest about this, and others will just be like,
well, yeah,
let's polish the turd as much as we possibly can.
Yeah. Well, who owns Root?
Well, I know the Mariners.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You're gonna get choke chopped.
You don't
think
the
White Sox
on
that postgame show?
You don't think the White Sox have a phone line directly connected to NBC Chicago and they're like, hey, we don't like this, and like, yeah, okay.
I think
they're like, okay,
piss off. He's entertaining.
Yeah. You lost 117 games this year, and we need people to watch this content,
man. Ozzie Guillen is on the studio desk for them.
It's great.
That's great.
It is great.
They're not gonna take that phone call from White Sox management.
Well, have no fear, Mariner fan. Your Timbers won last night. They beat the first place Galaxy.
You're damn right they did. Look at that. We got an MVP on our team? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, and he almost got bought. Somebody offered to buy him, and we said no.
Are we going to sell him this offseason? Are we giving up on Evander?
They just turned down, a $9 million offer for
Woo-hoo!
Him. Woo-hoo! Yeah, money's good.
Nice little signing for the Timbers.
Yep. So Portland's got one of the last couple of playoff spots. So they go to the second place team this weekend, Salt Lake.
They'll be Real Salt Lake. Real Salt Lake doesn't stand a chance.
Who was the team that Barkley gave us for the MLS pick?
I wrote it down.
Seattle? I think it was Seattle.
Let me check my notes here. MLS, the Columbus Crew.
Oh, the Columbus Crew.
He gave us the Columbus Crew.
All right.
So I already locked that parlay in.
That's right. You put it in minus the college one.
Minus the college one that we can't bet on Georgia, but every other one's in there.
Well, it's a nice Thursday. It's good to see you.
Hello.
I don't know when and how you decide to do the mustache, but I'm glad it's back.
Yeah, the mustache comes out every now and then.
You just look in the mirror and you're like, I'm feeling mustachey.
I can't grow a full beard, and it's really depressing to me. It's like patchy and...
It's really not.
It gets to the point where it's long, and then it just looks like I have pubes sticking out of the side of my face.
It's very offensive to people who can't grow any facial hair.
So I just eventually get to that point, and I shave it, but I can keep a mustache, so it's kind of fun.
Swag, would your beard get, like, Sukanic long, or would it be like Dirt's beard? Why don't you do your beard? I want to see you with a beard.
Oh, I've had it before. If I let it grow out, I don't treat it the way that you're supposed to, and it just gets itchy.
Huh.
What
are you supposed to do with it?
No, there's creams or oils or stuff you're supposed to do
beard
to
stuff
condition
in there.
It.
Go buy some. Come on. Zaddy it up.
I'm too lazy.
Well, you're a grandfather at this point. Just, what would you call that?
No, let's slow down.
Gaddy it up?
Gaddy. He's a gaddy over
there.
You're
a gaddy.
No. That's not coming anytime soon.
Yeah, you never know when it's coming. You know what I mean?
This is true. You never know.
Goalie's got to be on alert.
At all times.
At all times.
Don't pull that goalie.
I always love the people. Well,
keep
you know, I was watching, I mentioned that Mormon show, and the gal got pregnant by some dude after her divorce. Her mom's like, were you trying? He's like, I wasn't really trying. It's like, I know that process works.
The trying part, when you're trying,
when it's happening, it's like, yo, this could happen.
There's a chance that things could go down here. I think you should realize that.
I always love that. Well, we weren't expecting to do this. Like, well, why'd you do what you did?
You shouldn't have been having sex then. The hell were you thinking?
So we got a Zaddy over there. He's in this morning. Dirt with his mustaches in. I'm in with my pubescent face who can't grow facial hair. It's a delightful little morning.
Hello, Thursday.
Busy show. I have a lot to get to. We got some football to get to. We'll start, though. Big local news yesterday. A big moment for the city. And I have a question on the other side that involves what happened yesterday at the Moda Center. So we'll get to that coming up next. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. So, yesterday at the Moda Center, we had the WNBA announcement.
We did, 2:30 yesterday.
Talked about that yesterday, broke the news on the radio that it was official. And I want to get to the audio in a second, but I quite enjoyed Ron Wyden, Senator Ron Wyden, whose my entire life he has been a senator.
It seems like it, doesn't it?
I swear to God, I was like 9 years old watching Ron Wyden elect me commercials, and he still...
When did Ron Wyden go into the Senate?
In office.
Well, he was U.S. Representative first, and then went to the Senate.
His entire life. My entire life. He's been a politician.
But he's been a senator since 1996.
Yes.
1996.
Unbelievable.
Long run.
And he basically admitted to tampering yesterday, which I quite enjoyed.
He did. Are we going to get in trouble for that? We don't even have a team yet, technically. Are we going to get punished?
No. The CBA expires, I think, after the playoffs.
Okay, so we're good to tamper away?
Well, we actually, technically, we exist, but we don't exist yet.
Can you punish us for tampering?
No.
No.
But we are getting, I will just get on a limb right now. I don't even think it's a limb. I think it's a really strong branch. I'll be almost shocked if Sabrina Ionescu is not in a jersey on opening night.
Talk about a way to pack. I mean, the stadium will already be full,
but
likely, for year one. If you have
a player
like that.
The Liberty's going to win a title this year. She'll have a title.
Ooh.
You're going to pick them to win?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. I don't know if I'm there yet. They got a weird thing about them. They slow start sometimes.
Aren't the Aces the overwhelming favorite?
Aces have had a...
Liberty of the one seed.
One seed, okay.
The Aces have had a bit of a rocky year.
But they have the best player.
Yes.
They got without a doubt.
Asia Wilson is without a doubt the best player. But Breonna Stewart,
pretty good.
Damn.
Pretty good. Pretty damn good.
She can ball.
Yeah.
But Ron Wyden said in the entire lead up to this, they've been in contact with Sabrina Ionescu.
Yes.
And that she was, quote, jacked about the announcement that we were finally getting a team.
Yeah.
So we might have Juju Watkins and Sabrina Ionescu to start our WNBA venture.
Catch the fever, man, right out of the gate, from the bottom of the league to the top of the league, man. We're going to be the Las Vegas Knights of the WNBA.
Hell yeah.
Bring those two in, go to the ship in the first 2 years.
Make Toronto feel awful about themselves.
Yeah, right. Who cares about Toronto? Nobody going to Toronto, man. You're not the North anyway. Stop lying.
Here's Kathy Engelbert, the commissioner of the WNBA, making the formal announcement.
The people of Portland have established this city as a premier destination. This momentum, combined with visionary leadership of the Bethal family, is what brings us all to this announcement today. So today, I am honored to officially announce that we have awarded Portland the 15th WNBA franchise.
And here's new owner Lisa Bethal, also part of the ownership group that owns the Thorns. So they get thorny, and now they're about to get in the WNBA. Here is her... words of Portland getting a WNBA team.
Portland has been the global capital of sports lifestyle, and today is the day we claim it as the global epicenter of women's sports. From the historic success of the Portland Thorns to the growing momentum around women's basketball, it happens here. There is no better place for this team to thrive. Portland is at the forefront of a movement that is shaping the future of women's sports, and we are proud to be a part of that history.
And I thought this was interesting, Dirt. Dwayne Hankins, the president of the Trailblazers, was on hand as well, as was Joe Cronin.
Yeah, it was cool they were there.
And he had this to say about the NBA and now WNBA existing in Portland.
We want to demonstrate that we can host world-class events. And after we host the Final Four, we'll be ready to host an NBA All-Star game, or now a WNBA All-Star game.
2030?
Sure.
2031?
Let's do it. I'm all for it. But we don't have enough hotels, Brandon. We need more hotels. How could anybody ever have to bus from a hotel to the stadium? It won't work.
I love that he threw that out, but if you listen to the very end, he's like, we're ready for big events. We'll have the Final Four. We'll have this. And All-Star games. NBA, WNBA? WNBA? Because I think you realize, like, oh, I don't know if we'll actually get an NBA All-Star game ever, but let's throw the WNBA one out.
I hate the NBA for that stance. It's so stupid. WNBA All-Star game will definitely happen. We care about women's sports in this market. Whether you care about this news or not, people will support this team. People will go. It will be a big deal for the city. And we will definitely get an All-Star game for that league. The women's Final Four will be incredible when it comes, and that will be awesome in 2030 when that happens. The idea that we can't get an NBA All-Star game is one of the things that makes me hate that league with every fiber of my being.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Baseball does an incredible job of going to markets and lifting it up. And, hey, we don't care if there's hotels nearby. We don't care about this. Like, have you built a new stadium? We'll come. Have we not been to your stadium in a long time? We'll come. Seattle just got it again for the second time in what? When was the Cal Ripken one? 2001?
2001.
And then you got it last year. So twice in 25 years you got All-Star games in that market.
They've had three in Seattle.
Three historically?
In the 70s.
Way back in the day in the Kingdom. So you've had three All-Star games.
Ran over somebody at home plate
for a city and an organization that has accomplished literally nothing. They've hosted three All-Star games, and we can't even sniff one in Portland.
Brooke Olsendam was kind of the MC of that event. She'll be joining us at 7:30 this morning. They're in Corvallis. They're doing their Rip City tour, so they go to all these small cities and try to get people excited for the season.
There were Blazers at the Civil War, too. I saw that. They were all down there on the sideline.
Yeah, how about that? So Brooke Olsendam will join us at 7:30. You get her thoughts on the WNBA stuff yesterday. It did make me think a big moment for a lot of sports fans locally. And even if you're not a big WNBA person, I was wondering and watching the festivities, will we see another one of these again, like within the next 15 to 20 years? And what I mean by that is, are we going to see another, hey, Portland has a team in fill-in-the-blank league? We all dream about it. We've talked about it. We talk about renderings when they get released.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to have another one of these in the relative future of our lives? Or is it like sinking in that maybe that was it? And that hit me yesterday of like, what if this is it for me in my professional adult life? Like, I don't get anything until I'm like a really old man. Will we get an NHL team announcement, a Major League Baseball team? Will the NFL say, hey, the only way to make money is to expand? Let's put a team a little closer to Seattle and cut down travel issues. Like, do you think we'll see another sports announcement like we saw yesterday?
I think our best bet is the NHL. And I don't even know if it's close.
I think that depends on whenever Jody Allen decides to move on and new ownership comes in. You hear a lot about like the concert industry. There's a lot of backlash now because ticket prices are so ridiculously high the way the promoters have set those up. So I wonder then if another 45 guaranteed dates for hockey plus potential, you know, in there, you have a WNBA team in the summer, spring and summer. You filled it up with 115, 120 guaranteed events, dates with three franchises in that building. If that then sustains, you know, and then you can pick off and have other events in there.
Is hockey in a position of expansion, or would they be relocation?
They're talking about it more.
Yeah, I think there's always that potential. Relocation is always on the table. I
mean, we just saw they're at 30, right?
They're at 32 after Seattle and Vegas. Yeah, Vegas was 31.
Seattle
was 32.
Seven teams in Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw the Coyotes move to Salt Lake City, which I think if we had somebody else owning the Blazers would have been a viable path for us.
Could have been more aggressive with that.
I mean, the NHL wants
a perfect
expand,
hockey arena.
But among cities they're talking about going to again is Atlanta for a third time.
Which would be ridiculous.
So we're kind of being left out of that conversation.
Well, we just don't have anybody spearheading the effort.
If they said, hey, we're going to do this. We're sprucing up the Moda Center. We're going to redo our ice configuration, blah, 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 blah. And yeah, if they went to the NHL and said, we're all ready for you.
So the new owner would change probably everything, depending on who that owner is, because right now...
They have to be open for it, too, yeah.
When you say Portland, like, when I saw the Moda Center festivities, they had the Rose Quarter stuff outside. We're a basketball city.
We absolutely are.
We don't have a lot of... And I know the Winterhawks have done an exceptional job as an organization for most of our lives, but we don't have any hockey real representation outside of when the Winterhawks season is happening.
Yeah.
We're largely looked at as basketball.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, it would depend on the owner of whoever buys the Blazers when Jody does sell.
And they have to be willing to share the venue and share the, you know, I don't know how all of that would work out. But Paul Allen sniffed around it multiple times and came close multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't fully get there. We all know that. But Jody has no interest in doing that. And so if anything comes on the market in the short term, it's definitely not going to happen. But if you had a new owner that was willing to expand their portfolio and say, hell yeah, dude, let's throw a couple of teams in here, have it be packed basically year round, I think you'd have a great shot at that because the arena is made largely for hockey, if you're honest.
It's better sight lines for hockey.
Way better sight lines for hockey. It's an incredible arena, and it's a damn shame that Jody won't pay for ice and the Winterhawks can't play there anymore. But if you get a new owner, I think that's the most viable. I would love baseball. I'd love to be able to go sit out at a ballpark.
It's because the arena exists, right?
But it's because the arena exists, man. You don't need any help from the city. There's no infrastructure changes. Nope. All the public transit already exists. Like, none of that needs to happen. There are no hurdles to lift other than, hey, come play in this stadium that, by the way, over the next, 3 years is going to go under major renovations to get ready for the Final Four.
So, interesting point to bring up on that. Dwayne Hankins, when he was talking, he said part of this is the revitalization of the city and how this is a big win for the city. We know the Rose Quarter area. Now they have two teams. It's a year-round venture. They're going to have to make that area better. They're forced to now.
He talked about some of the project that Phil Knight's money into the Albina district.
The Albina, and those sorts of things. The Blazers have invested in that as well. And so, I just wonder, when you say things like that, we've pointed this out before. It's not about like how much taxpayer money for stadiums and whatnot. I just wonder if some of the city identity, they're realizing sports leads to victories and business
and economy that's booming and restaurants and bars that open up.
Right. So I just wondered with his comments yesterday, got my gears turning of like, am I going to see an announcement for another team, hockey, baseball, football? You know, as much as I might be out on baseball, I'll be all in if we get a team. We get a hockey team. I know nothing about. Let's do that hockey. My dream is the Gridiron Project. I want a football team here. I love the NFL more than I can describe. And I just wonder if they continue to look at this and say, sports. Sports is going to make the Rose Quarter an actual area where people go hang out and want to be at.
Yes.
Not forced to be at because there's an event going on.
Or where am I going to park and is my car going to get broken into?
Sure.
Will it revitalize the area to a point where it's an attractive destination?
Yes. And so I was watching the whole thing and listening to some of the commentary. It just made me think, like, am I going to see this again in the next 15 years? Are we going to transform the city a little bit to, hey, sports matter a great deal. They're a rallying cry. They're a unifying thing for people. And, oh, by the way, they help business and they help areas of cities that are in not so good shape become drastically different.
I hope, man. I hope. Yesterday was cool. Whether you think it's cool or not, it's going to be awesome for the city. And we're going to support it like crazy, and it'll be fun to have something to take kids or families or whatever to in the summer. And I hope that it's just the beginning and that this is not the last one for a long time.
Brooke Olsendam will join us at 7:30. We'll get her thoughts on the events yesterday, the team, all of that. She emceed that event, so she'll join us at 7:30. Coming up next, and by the way, your thoughts are always welcome with the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. They shoot you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouver4.com. Up next, Jim Harbaugh is this historic figure. Next on The Fan. How about this for a fantasy football commercial? Bill Belichick, Bryson DeChambeau, Cameron the rapper, now sports pundit, and Tyrese Maxey.
It's a hell of a collection of people right there.
That's a cast of characters you never thought you'd ever hear together.
You're hitting almost every demographic right there, man. Old white guy, young white guy, golfer. You're hitting everybody.
I will try to form a poll question. I know we've done one before similar, but after yesterday's festivities, which sport do you think we will see a press conference, an announcement for next in our lifetimes here in the city of Portland?
Yeah, hopefully none isn't the answer that everybody votes on, but I imagine that's where everybody's going to go.
Wouldn't blame anybody if they voted for none.
No, not at all.
I've also lived here my whole life. I understand it.
We understand the realities.
Mel Kiper thinks two-eye safety should be outlawed and banned in the National Football League because it's making life hard for NFL quarterbacks.
There was only like 60 touchdown passes so far this season, man. What are we going to do? I need more action.
Remember when we bitched and moaned that the NFL was too easy, that there was too many touchdowns, and we shouldn't count passing stats anymore?
Yeah, it looked like flag
anymore.
Football.
Yeah.
Everybody was scoring 40 a game.
Now the NFL defense has caught up, and it's... Now we're going back. It's a cycle in the NFL.
Such a funny statement. Now it's just the Saints. Like, imagine saying that a month ago. Now the only offense in the NFL that can get 40 on anybody is the New Orleans Saints, just like we all saw coming.
Well, you know, they're interesting. Not that I thought we'd dive into Saints per se, but they've got a game against Philly.
They do.
Nick Sirianni said yesterday and asked about kicking versus going for it on fourth down. He had a really bad answer on that. Like, people are ready to get this guy fired in Philly.
He's going full Jed Fish. It's not my fault. Kellen Moore calls the plays. What do you look? I watched the film and I was reaffirmed it was the right decision.
You can find any website to tell you what to do. I go with gut.
Keep talking. Kellen Moore's going to be the head coach before much longer.
Better be careful there.
It's a weird situation in Philly, but they are on the road at New Orleans, who are 2-0, and they're scoring, as Swag mentioned, in the 40s. I said on Monday, I'm not concluding anything with teams. I'm going 7-8 weeks before I really tell you who I think
you
people are.
You pansy. Give me a take, damn it.
Are the Saints going to be found out to be more for real this week for you? Like, if they beat the Eagles by, call it, a touchdown or more, do you change your stance or your views on the Saints? Or are you already there on the Saints of, man, that talent's a little better than I gave it, and the new OC hire has changed things for them.
It's clearly working. They have a number one wide receiver, if you don't know.
But you're also, in saying that, you're trusting Derek Carr, who right now might be the MVP of the NFL. Where are you at on the Saints and what this weekend would mean for them if they beat the Eagles?
Look, I give you a hard time, but the stance of waiting this stuff out is the right stance. It's the NFL, and every week things look drastically different than they did even a week ago. That's the beauty of this league. What I would answer on the Saints is, I think you have to buy into them being for real through 2 weeks. Now, does that mean a Super Bowl contender? Does that mean a playoff team? Does that mean just a good team? Those are all different degrees of buying in. But when their offense is humming at the level it is, their defense was already, like, defense wasn't really the problem
for
them.
I was not worried as much about the defense. It was an offense.
It's Derek Carr, and is he any good? And, you know, at what point do you hand the reins over to Rattler, who you drafted, who looked really good in the preseason?
Kamara didn't have quite a year last year.
No, so that was always the wondering about New Orleans is, can they figure that out? You hung 47 on Carolina, whatever. Carolina's the worst team in the league. Then you go back it up and you do it against Dallas. To me, this week won't indicate, like, if you lose a close game to Philly, I'm not going to say, see, the Saints are pretenders. I'm going to more give you the next 4 week sample size. The next month of football for the New Orleans Saints. They get the Eagles at home. They go on the road to Atlanta. They get Kansas City in Kansas City, and then they get Tampa at home. That's their next month.
What is the four game there? So I'm going to go 2-2.
If you come out of that 4-2, I'm a believer. If you win two of those games and you look good doing it and the offense is still humming, you go 1-3 different, you go 4-0 or 3-1, man.
I mean, like, that changes everything.
You might be the front runner in the NFC at that point. Yeah. So I'm not just going to do it for this week. I think they can beat Philadelphia. I'm not super high on the Eagles at all. Eked out a win in week one. Didn't look great at all blowing a lead in week two. I think they got all sorts of issues behind the scenes, and they have since last year, and they're not acknowledging it and just acting. They're doing the Chauncey Billups thing. Like, we all know Sirianni's going to get fired if he doesn't go on a deep playoff run, which they're probably not because of their dysfunction. That next month, though, is how you judge New Orleans.
Do you think those fans realize that their temperament actually does impact their own team?
Yeah, I think they do, and I think that's why they act that way.
See, I don't think that they do. I think if they realize that, hey, when you guys boo and panic over every possible negative moment in a game.
Yeah, they're booed off the field on Sunday night.
Like, it's got to be a weird feeling to be on that team knowing your city kind of thinks you stink and they don't like your coach.
You got to have thick skin to be in Philly, man. That's the way it works.
I agree with that.
Was it Trey Turner last year who had
he was getting booed and then they started cheering
him. They gave him a cheering ovation to try and get him going because he signed that big contract and he was playing terrible.
And I believe he did turn it around.
He definitely turned it around.
Like, is that not a sample size of, hey, we actually supported a guy when he was down and it got his game turned around versus we threw batteries at him or we booed him?
I think that's the difference from playing every night versus once a week.
Okay, that's a fair point by you.
Yeah.
If they lose by 7 or more, though.
If Philly does this weekend?
Like, I don't think that they would do this because I don't think they have a history, but do they fire that guy?
Not 3 games into the season, no. But I would argue.
What if they get blown out? What if they're Dallas?
I don't know who's on. I mean, Kellen Moore's never been a head coach. There was some discussion in Dallas that he could be.
They just admitted this week after that loss that there is no coach, that they're a player-led team.
That's,
when your players say that out loud, that's a bad look on you.
Yeah, Kellen Moore is their offensive coordinator. Vic Fangio is their defensive
coordinator. Fangio, they could be the interim head coach.
Gross.
And go back to Vic Fangio.
Oh, I know.
His defenses haven't been that great either.
No.
And that's the big thing. Can Alvin Kamara, can they run over him so they have the balance? I think that's the biggest thing for Carr is.
Well, a three-headed monster.
He doesn't have to throw 45 times because they're behind by two scores and he's trying to catch up and they're blitzing on every play.
Shaheed, Kamara. Alave, you got to pick your poison there.
Hey, Juwan Johnson, man, don't sleep on him.
Juwan Johnson.
Tight end / wide receiver.
Bigger story for one of those two teams in the game that I didn't think we'd address this week. Philly or New Orleans?
I think it's bigger for Philly weekend.
I think it's Philly.
It's bigger for Phily.
The noise.
Because New Orleans can lose that game and nobody's going to, if they get blown out, maybe it's different. Sure. But if they lose a close game, whatever. What's their record in a month?
It'll be 2-1, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Philly and you blow that game the way you did Monday night and you don't back it up with a bad performance and you lose on the road in New Orleans, especially if they win going away with the way their offense is humming right now,
If the Saints have some drives that look like the one Kirkers had at the end of the game where they're just getting it in chunks.
Yeah. I didn't get to my Harbaugh stuff. Harbaugh comped himself to a historical figure yesterday.
That he did. He's not wrong here, man. He's not wrong.
Wrote it in stone tablets.
And Kevin Clark making an interesting observation as the NFL season is underway. So I'll tell you what that is and who Harbaugh comped himself to next on The Fan. All right, we got a local college football game this weekend. And I have no idea what to make of the opponent. We'll get to that top of the hour. We also have a battle with a local team and a team down the road. It's quite fascinating for me.
Got a battle going on, huh?
We do.
Ooh.
A fight.
Love a good fight.
I do, too. Jim Harbaugh yesterday was asked about Greg Roman and why Greg Roman, his offensive coordinator, who he worked with in San Francisco, and Greg Roman worked with his brother in Baltimore for a few years. They have gotten their run game humming in L.A., which is something we had pointed out going into the season. They're going to run the football. And Jim Harbaugh was asked about Greg Roman and how Greg Roman is so good at creating a run game for teams. And here was Jim Harbaugh's answer.
He's just a great coach. I mean, one of the best I've ever been around. Like Moses, I'm gonna die leaning on my staff. Greg Roman, Jesse Minner, Ryan Fick, and those coordinators are, in my opinion, some of the best in the business. And
did he plan that line out and just at some point?
I don't think he did, man. I don't think he did. I think that's just Harbaugh being Harbaugh.
I can't tell if he goes into things with a couple of thoughts. Not that
he
writes down lines. But if he has he read something else someday or a calendar,
like a word of the day type of deal.
History. Moses was his word of the day.
He had this thing in his mind from something else and he just goes in there with a couple of things and he's going to reference it at some point, no matter what, or if it's total stream of consciousness.
I think it's 100% a stream of consciousness. I don't think he plans anything. Any of his long form interviews are hilarious because this is all it is. It's just random little tidbits, anecdotes, connections, stories. This dude is an absolute scatterbrain and he has no clue where he's going whenever he opens his mouth and then greatness like this comes out.
I love him. He's great for the league. He has already made a huge difference in my life being in the National Football League. Is he a cheater? Yeah, he absolutely cheated to win that national championship.
You ain't cheating, you ain't trying, baby.
But a little harder to cheat in the NFL, and he's going to have to work his way to get that Lombardi.
I think the question for Greg Roman, there's no doubt that Greg Roman has been a great offensive mind when it comes to run games for a very long time. When he was in San Francisco, what he did with Kaepernick, those teams were juggernauts on the ground. Did the same thing in Baltimore, as you pointed out, with John Harbaugh. The question that I'll have for them long-term, if this is even a long-term fit, I don't know how long they'll be together, is when the Chargers eventually get elite weapons on the outside, which I would assume would be their next target either in the offseason or in the draft. We got to go get a true number one wide receiver. Can he implement that into their offense? Or is this just going to be a dynamic rushing attack that plays defense and you don't ask Herbert to do much? They did call some zone reads with him last week, which I thought was interesting, and Herbert was running the football. We've known for a long time he's a great athlete. It's something that the previous staff never really did. So I'm wondering to see, as the year goes on, how much of the offense is him kind of tucking it, running it, and using his legs.
I just say for the Chargers and their fans' sake, I hope you don't get stuck in a massive playoff game and you're at the 5-yard line and all three plays, he just throws fades into the end zone.
Not good.
Not, I will never forgive him for that.
Not
we had
good.
A Hall of Fame NFL running back, and he didn't give him the ball once.
Fade.
Try it again. Kevin Clark of ESPN, he was on the morning show. I always forget the name of it.
Get Up?
No, the one before us.
Get Up!
Oh, on Sportsmanlike.
I don't know why I can't remember that name. He was on there, and I thought he had an interesting point. In talking about the Panthers' mess with Bryce Young, Bryce Young is reportedly pissed.
I would imagine so.
The Panthers say they are not going to trade him. Canales is trying to sell that they can still bring him back as a franchise quarterback.
Sure.
It's a whole weird thing.
Sure you can.
He made an interesting point. This is a year where there's some quarterback prospects coming into the draft, and if Carolina is the worst team in football, which we think they are, do we see an Eli Manning, a quarterback, say, I'm not playing for that. That team sucks. That owner's terrible. Do we get a repeat of it? It's an interesting observation by him, because I would say this is warranted. This is a year, whether you hate Shador, like Shador, Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, I don't know who the hell it is, whoever that person is, I'm just going to get out now and say it. I'm in a full support of them boycotting being a Carolina Panther, if that's what the pick is.
I mean, we went through this last year with the random rumors on Caleb. Will he do it to not go to Chicago? And then it's funny, he gets drafted by the Bears, and it's like, hey, he's got more talent around him than any rookie quarterback has ever had in the history of rookie quarterbacks.
Except on the offensive line.
Except where you need it most, on the offensive line. I've seen interviews from Deion where he's already said he's going to do this. So if Shador is that guy that is the number one pick, I don't know if he will be, but they've already come out and said, or he said, that we're not going to go to certain markets, and I know where I'll allow him to play. So will that actually happen? I don't know.
Did you see Becker Ewers doing
that's
this?
That's the other thing. It's hard.
I don't know.
Is there a trade there? Did they just pass on you? Do they draft you and trade you somewhere else? I think the other part of this, and I'd have to go look, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, what's the difference in a signing bonus on a rookie contract for the number one overall pick and the number seven overall pick? Because there's a difference financially
speaking.
Well,
when you get drafted one, but you're traded,
you would technically get that contract. So you would have to be, I would imagine, if you're going to be the number one overall pick, you would want that team to draft you and then trade you and not do the don't draft me because I'm not going to play for you thing.
The money thing is a good point, but I would say the counter to that is if it's a difference of $4 million, $3 million, is that
That's
worth?
A lot of money,
I'm looking
man.
At the
is that
rookie.
Worth playing for Dave Tepper and
no,
the Panthers?
No, it's not. I agree with the stance that you should do it, but we just had, I feel like this is a kind of every year thing that we talk about, and
I don't
just
think this is
never happens.
So they have a cap. So there's a rookie cap. You can't sign more than this. So the number one overall pick, it's just under $7.2 million.
Yep.
The seventh pick is $4.735 million.
So it depends on the state, the tax
situation. $2.5 million, $3 million.
Yep. I disagree with you. It was brought up last year mainly because his dad popped off a little bit. He dispelled that very quickly. Prior to that, when did we talk about it?
I feel like this is discussed in terms of should a player do it, not will a player do it, but should you be willing to go play for, should you pull an Eli Manning? The team's drafting at the top, they all suck.
We were asking this a little, not in the should he boycott, but Houston.
Yes.
With CJ Stroud.
Yes.
It's I like Stroud.
That was an incompetent organization,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, that organization didn't have a good reputation.
Just hired a new head coach. They were run by some wacko people behind the scenes.
They still are.
Still are, but they found a way to figure it out.
Well, they found a head coach, though, that appears to have control and
a relatable
and a direction.
Coach, yep. Smart mind defensively, and they hired a good OC.
Yep.
That's what it was.
It can be fixed quickly, but...
Can Carolina be fixed quickly?
Not with Tepper, because Deion will throw him under the bus, immediately.
But I'm asking Quinn Ewers and Beck, because let's say Shador out of this.
Yeah. I don't know about those two.
I think they go.
I think they do, too.
And it's just what sucks about that is how you not see that situation and just say,
If there's ever an argument to not want to play for an organization, this is it.
This is definitely.
This is the strongest one don't go anywhere near that. It will not work out for you.
Hour number two, Brooke Olsendam will join us coming up at 7:30. We'll get into a battle, a fight that's happening between two Big Ten teams, but we kick off the second hour. Oregon State, Purdue this weekend. What do we make of this matchup? Who is Purdue? And Oregon State expectations coming off of that Civil War loss. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.